The latter part is very important. So if you were the Baron Lichtenstein. Okay. Let me just make some comments to begin. Nechemya, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, I'm not just good, I am infinitely wealthier than when I saw you last.
Are you?
Absolutely. On Hey Iyar, I had a great granddaughter. Hey Iyar. And I just asked my wife if there's anything new, but it's too early yet. We're waiting to find out when they'll let the baby go home and my daughter and granddaughter-in-law. So it's been an exciting, Shabbat. We'll put it that way. They should have named her already by now. So I'm waiting to find out because we believe they're naming the baby after my wife's mother, which means a lot to us because she didn't 20 years already. There's no one with that bears a no one named for her. It's all boys along the line. Okay, first of all, today's date, the 30th of April, 2012, Monday morning. Some comments that have come in that are of interest. We raised the issue in the class whether the Rav took two matzot at the Seder or three matzot, right? You all know the Vilna Gaon took two matzot, and I told you that logically to me, two matzot is the only thing you should do with the Seder. If there's a din of lechem only, it has to come out of the two matzot, not ma pitom, you bring a third matzot. Nevertheless, I take three matzot. What can I do? Klal Yisrael takes three matzot. So my Talmud, Rabbi, Lieutenant Colonel, I hope I'm giving him his right rank, he may be up to colonel already, Mark Wiener, wrote to me, and he's lived in Chicago for many years. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal said he was the only one in Beis Harav that used to use three matzot at the Seder. He mentioned something in Shiat YU that after going through the Sigur, he asked his father of Moshe, could he use three matzot? His father told him that since he learned through the Sigur and felt he wanted to use three, it was all right. So it's an interesting point, and Mark is quite reliable. And if he heard that from Rav Aaron, it means that the Rav took two matzot. I also want to mention that my Talmid Natan Rickman, who asked that question about what was part of the shir last week and confused Rabbi Kotler and Rabbi Huttner, he said he was reading the book on the Chag when he couldn't write. And therefore, after Pesach, when he sent out the email, he confused Rav Aaron with Rav Yitzchak Kutner. And the Gemara he was referring to was on Baba Batra Tzaditet Amid Aleph. But I was right. That Gemara makes mention of the Gemara I quoted to you last week. But the Gemara I quoted to you last week in Yuma, Daf Nun Gimel Amid Aleph, that is the source. As far as that is the basic source. The Gemara in Baba Batra is simply quoting one aspect of it. And as far as Mila and the Metzitzah B'Peh and the Satma community and my plea to my students who work for Satma to do something, to plead common sense, halachic common sense, pikuach nefesh, Rabbi Yashiv, I showed you last week, right? The children from Rabbi Yashiv, more extreme than my words. And my combat Dr. Alan Blau, hi Rabbi, in response to your message to me in the Sunday morning shir, I have in fact discussed the issue of Metzitzah B'Peh with Talmidei Chachamim of the Satma community and expressed my opinion that the practice should be discontinued. The result, let me put it this way, I could just as well have asked them to wear blue and white on your matzmut while reciting Hallel with a bracha! Exclamation point. So I don't think any other comment is necessary. Okay, now let's get down to business, and I've now caught up with at least all the emendations that I want to make and what I've said in the past. And as you recall, last week it was a very fascinating shiur. And when all is said and done, no one knows at all. You all need advice. We all need advice. No matter who we are, what we are, we can be very great in our own fields. But when it comes abreast of our fields, if we have any intelligence, we have to turn to the experts. And I know that there's an email waiting for me that I responded to. I gave it to Sherry to send out. I left it on her desk this morning. And someone asked me a number of questions in Jewish philosophy. So on an area like that, true, these questions I could answer. But when everyone asks me a difficult question in Jewish philosophy, I tell them, you have to turn. My son was an expert. I am not. It's a medical question, every shaila I ever got, like to David Applebaum, whatever David Applebaum told me, that's what I paskin. Today I would turn to Dr. David Krieger, and the person has to understand, none of us know it all. We can know a great deal, we can have a tremendous fund of knowledge. I'm sure the Lubavitcher Rebbe, or Moriah Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, their ability to go way beyond shas and poskim was at times, I would say, overwhelming how much they knew. But nevertheless, there are areas where you must turn to an expert. And of course, Yosef Megmarim Brachad, God have mercy on us when the expert is Achi Tofel. And many times you see Gedolei Yisrael making statements and you're absolutely flabbergasted what they're saying, what position they're taking, who is leading them. And time and again, we see the advice of an Achitofel, in my humble opinion, results in Chilul Hashem, not Kiddush Hashem. Now, with concept of Das Torah and being correct and infallible, I don't want to use the words ex cathedra, infallible, very frightening words. But nevertheless, you see the mistakes that have happened. Now, we don't have to go any further than the Holocaust. The classic example, of course, is in Shanghai. And you should know that problem the Haredi world suffers from until today. I quoted to you from the Yecheskel Levenstein, but the issue is not closed there. It's a standing issue that time and again will be raised. And I believe, I don't say I've given a satisfactory answer, but I think over the years I've dealt with it within the context of Torah and Yirat Shemayim and the smallness of the human being. To speak of Das Torah when it comes to the Holocaust, when it comes to the State of Israel, unfortunately many of our greatest minds took positions which were in consonance with their outlook, with their upbringing, with their education, but positions that proved to be totally incorrect. Or as Rakefet puts it, I don't want to say that all these great Rabbanim were incorrect, but at least I can say Rav Kook was totally correct. And I told you the story with Farbstein and Gain Sadikis Nishtadeya. Going back to Europe is not an opinion, not a viewpoint, and how Farbstein cried after the Holocaust, Halavai would have listened to Rav Kook. Now, that is the story with Rabbi Grunblatt that I mentioned last week. Moshe said he'll check it out with Rabbi Grunblatt when he gets back to the States. And how he described that young man in Beit Medrash Elyon, the Rebbe Tunz Chizak, Sekenish sign, it can't be, and yet the state was here. The story of Rabbi Aaron Cutler was a story I never thought I would talk about in public. I know the story, as I told you, from the early 60s on. Rabbi Louis Isby, Zeichut Tzadik Livracha, and yours truly were good friends teaching together in the halls of Yeshiva University. And you got to remember, Rabbi Belton was a tremendous Goymul Chesed. The world doesn't realize this. And I can tell you many stories of his Chesed. It's not for now, but he redeemed Rabbi Isby from Torah Vadas, because here there was so much aggravation and machlokes in Torah Vadas, and it was his brother-in-law, who was one of the key players in the machlokes, Rav Gedalia Shor, with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and the people around them. And anyone from Torah Vadas from that era will give you a lot more details than I can, but these are not happy details, but that's the human nature. It's what we spoke about yesterday. The Muslim movement has failed, and it has failed very simply because its requirements are too great for the average human being. And I challenge anyone to match the Muslim story I tell about Rav Yaakov Moshe, a Cohen lesson in Washington to Washington. If you want to know what Musa is all about, read that story about Rabbi Lesson and Yom Kippur and the shidduch he's trying to make a few months afterwards. And when you read that story, shiver and shake how low we are and how great a Musa person can be, can achieve. So I never thought I would make the story public, but with the website, nothing is a secret today. Hamodia publishes it, anyone can find it on the websites. And of course, it's the famous story with Reb Aaron and Reb Gedalia Shoa, and had Reb Aaron listened, had Reb Gedalia listened to Reb Aaron, he would have never made it back to America, he would not be alive. Now, I want to go further, and I want to show you something very fascinating, and it could be that this thought that I'm going to cite to you, it could be that this thought opens our eyes, our minds, to a problem within the Torah world, I would say the problem within the Torah world, with a capital T, that continues until this very moment. It could very well be that the State of Israel, and all of you know, we're caught up now, I don't want to minimize it, but I've lived here 43 years, Baruch Hashem, and there has never been a moment of absolute conflict, head-on battle. I would say the entire configuration of the state is going to be reshaped by what's happening now. We'll talk about it. I want to end off the year with lectures on an attitude towards Haredim. I'll talk about it in more detail. But what happened now, it could be, it would have happened anyway. I always say this, there's a grad, let me give you a mashal. Mashal ha-davar domeh. Rav Heshel Schechter, and I believe it is his first volume, the Nefesh HaRav, spoke about the Rav going to Berlin to avoid the draft to the Polish army. I don't have to tell you that the Rav's daughters, particularly Tova, who I spoke with about it so many times, very upset with what Rav Heschel wrote. Because the Rav was going to Berlin, he was seeking wider vista, no matter what. Yes, the draft into the Polish army was the catalyst that made him leave Warsaw at that moment. But to say that's why he went to Berlin is misstating. It's not the truth. It's not the depth of understanding the Rebbe's mind in 1925-26. If you look into my work on the Rebbe and look into my long footnote by Reb Heschel, you'll see how hard I worked to fine-tune that footnote so that I would be telling the truth and on the other hand not be offensive to Reb Heschel Schechter, to YU's most important, most famous Rosh Yeshiva at this moment in time. And I can tell you I worked very hard on that footnote, and I don't want to go into any more details, but the family was satisfied with it. At least I felt I told the truth. And there's no question in life that there's certain things we're going to do, we're going to do. I'll give you a simple example. Those of us, I don't know how many are in the room who are not married, but the majority, of course, are married. And you know, you can go along with I'm going to get married one day, I'm going to get married one day, and then lo and behold, you're walking along and you see this lovely girl and she speaks to you and it's the catalyst. You move into action. So I'm not a fool. The changes in the State of Israel that are going to come about would have come about sooner or later. But instead of coming about 70 years from now, 50 years from now, it's coming about. The process has begun. And this is the catalyst of what happened these last few months, Paul Maim Matnafish, and it's just amazing to me to see total unity among the non-Haredi parties from A to Z on this issue. Now, it could be what I'm about to tell you. I was overwhelmed. First of all, Rabbi Dr. Zerifa Haftik, who I knew, I was privileged. I knew all these people. I can't say I knew them intimately. The truth is that among some of the very famous people, they wanted me to become an intimate friend of theirs. I was offered many very important positions with big titles. I turned them all down because I feel that God created me just to teach. Right, I don't know if I'm right or wrong. You can have your own opinion. It's not important now, 53 years of teaching Torah. You see what camp I'm in. And I don't want to go into details, but some of the biggest names offered me positions. Okay, now, I knew Zerich Vahavtek. Let me tell you, as given a Litvische Talmud Chacham. He was a first-rate Talmud Chacham. His father was a Litvische Talmud Chacham and Adam Gadol. He wrote Sfarim. I believe there's a street in Beit Vagan named after his father. I think it's called Divrei Yeruchim. You can correct me if I'm wrong. That's the name of his father's sefer. And Rav Zarek himself was Machadesh Torah at a Shia in Heichal Shlomo, published Sfarim. In addition, of course, he was a lawyer and he was had a world hashkafa, very open. A Mizrachiite, very open, a big Mizrachiite. You see it in his children. He has children, Talmidei Chachamim, all of them very broad, with doctorates. His daughter is a judge with a doctorate from Harvard here in Yerushalayim. Her name is Maimon, and that is his daughter. So he's a man of a lot of insight. Now, he played a key role in the Shanghai episode. The truth is that the Haredi journal, the Haredi representation of history, plays down his role. Because it's lo na'im lahem that to give credit, that a major part of the credit of saving Torah in our generation goes to a leader of the Mizrahi, a religious Zionist, Dr. Zerich Vahavtik, and his role is played down. Anyone who studies the Yiri, you will see in scholarship that Vahavtik's name comes up time and again, and he was one who encouraged the yeshiva, grab Semple Sugiharo's visas, listen to what he's offering, get to Japan, beat it out of here. He was diametrically opposed to Reb Chaim Moshe Vyshinsky. Don't sit still, act. Now, he wrote a memoir. I've quoted it before, but now I'm quoting a different part of the memoir altogether. Sarit u'palit b'mei ha'shoah. It's been translated into English. I don't know what the English name is. You can tell me. You can look it up on your computers. I of course, if what can I tell you? I read Hebrew and English interchangeably, so if a book comes out in Hebrew, I'm going to read it in Hebrew. I'm not going to wait 10, 15 years for an English translation. Beginning on page 223, he has a fabulous description of Reb Aaron Cutler, his relationship with Reb Aaron Cutler. And he says, I already was in contact with Reb Aaron Cutler in the late 30s. I was active in Mizrahi. I was involved in the Warsaw office that dealt with the visas to Eretz Yisrael. I happened to be reading at this very moment a family memoir was published privately about how Professor Avraham Weiss and his family escaped and got out of Warsaw and got to America in 1940. Anyone remember the name Professor Avraham Weiss? He was the Bernard Rebel Graduate School Hebrew. It was written in English. But his daughter translated into Hebrew for the grandchildren, because the whole family is here today. All the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. There's not one member of the family who's not in Israel. So it's translated into Hebrew, which, by the way, I suffer with, because there's a lot of fancy English words in that transliteration where I have to break my mind to figure out what the heck is this. This is not Hebrew. And halavai, I could have the English manuscript. I wouldn't have to break my teeth on fancy English words. Say there was a family publication for the grandchildren. And this office in Warsaw handled the few visas. You had to get a visa to go to Eretz Yisrael. There was a quota. There was a quota within a quota. I don't have to tell you the English government. All I can tell you about them is what's the difference? Sonei Yisrael, how many Jews they killed, how many abetted and hated Hitler. What we have gone through, it's beyond words. Okay. So he says that already in the late 30s, he was in touch with Reb Aaron Cutler because students in Kletsk who wanted to go to Israel, who were Mizrahiites, were complaining that the yeshiva they were going to was persecuting them. And Reb Aaron wrote back a long letter to him. And Reb Aaron writes to him that we're not in favor of Mizrahi, we're not in favor of Agudat Yisrael. All we're in favor is learning Torah. And we don't want politics in the yeshiva. And then Zerach Vahavtik writes what happened when they all ran away to Vilna, how Reb Aaron insisted keeping the yeshiva separate, don't mix the yeshiva They all thought they would go back to Poland. Let's remain static. Let's wait till this war is over. No one could dream what was going to happen. And then Zarephathic says something, and I consider this a very insightful thought. I believe he's absolutely correct. He says he had the feeling that Rabarim and the other Rosh Yeshiva considered Israel, Eretz Yisrael, in conflict with Lima Torah. As if to say there were two forces motivating the students. One force, the great Zionist dream, and Palestine is building up, the war has come in, the dark clouds are here, Eretz Yisrael. Well, I imagine if a kid is dreaming of Eretz Yisrael, it interferes with Lima Torah. Reb Aaron, Reb Chaim Moshe, the Rosh Yeshiva. What's the most important thing? Lima Torah. And Zarephathic says, I had the feeling that these Rosh Yeshiva felt they were in conflict with each other. Now that, hold on. It's a very fascinating point. And I can tell you, you still see traces of that in the United States. Kid dreams settling in Israel. I once met a kid. The kid was like walking with joy. And I met him Friday night, and they introduced me to him. And there's the kid, you know, he learned in Lakewood. And he said, all I heard that Israel is no good, and Israel's not real, and Israel's this, and Israel's that. He says, I'm here, it's beautiful, it's magnificent, it's real. In other words, that level of Eretz HaKodesh is lacking, and it's like a conflict. If you want to learn Torah, Lakewood and Mir, perhaps Yeshiva University has an element that thinks like this. Could be today, I don't know. Eretz Yisrael, it's going to squander your energies on other aspects. And this is what Zerich Vahavtik says. He felt with Reb Aaron there was a conflict. It was either or. Now, let me just finish this whole point, because I want to tell you, look what we have been privileged to achieve today, that Eretz Yisrael and Torah have blended into one. And I'm not only talking about the so-called, I'll use popular words, the Mizrahi world. That Eretz Yisrael and Torah blends into one for me, for my children, for my grandchildren. Hope for my great-grandchildren. Chazakah, they're coming up to three generations of commitment, al Admat HaKodesh. So the great-grandchildren will be okay too, Be'ezrat Hashem. There's no conflict. Not only that, even in the Haredi world, I've been told, I don't know how true it is, I mention it, fellas in Lakewood are listening, you can agree or disagree, but I'm only repeating what I was told. Some of the good fellas in Lakewood said to me that nowadays the real Torah learning is in Eretz Yisrael. If you're good, you wind up in Mir. If you're better than Mir and the various Chabura thing, remember, Mir is a conglomeration. You have maybe 50 different yeshiva, Chabura, under one roof, or one tent, let's say, because it's not really one roof anymore. It's quite a few buildings. Go beyond Mir, you wind up in Brisk. People are waiting online to get into Brisk. And there are various Brisk. Reb Meshulam David, there's the next generation, Reb Beryl's son, what's this, Reb Avram Gershon, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me, Reb Avram Yehoshua, right? Reb Avram Yehoshua, right? I had a very unfortunate meeting with him. That's a different story. Today, Eretz Yisrael is where it's at. Everyone knows it. It's unbelievable that even in America, see, we've gone beyond. It's not a conflict. It contributes. It enhances. It's one. What else is Eretz Yisrael if not a part of my Torah? Then he tells a beautiful story here. Again, this is on page 224. This story means a great deal to me personally, because I lived part of it. I was in Lakewood at the time. When Rabbi Zalman Meltzer died, when the Chazon Ish died, there was a tremendous void left in Israel. And Rabbi Zalman was the elder Rosh Yeshiva, but he barely survived the Chazon Ish. So you can check it out, I think, less than a year. And when he died, Eitz Chaim now had a problem. Or it could be Rabbi Zalman died before that, the year before the Chazon Ish. I think he died 53, the Chazon Ish died 54, whatever, you can check it out. But it was a period with a lack of first-rank Rosh Yeshiva leadership. The Chazon Ish was not a Rosh Yeshiva, all of you know that. At Gizitzin and Avinkel, he sat in a corner, and his influence was all over the world. But he was not a Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Zalman was, of course, from Voloshinyet, from Slabodka, from Kletz, and Eitz Chaim. Rabbi Zalman was Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. When he died, they appointed his son-in-law, Rabbi Aaron Cutler, Rosh Yeshiva of Eitz Chaim. Now, everyone understood that this was a titular appointment. It's like, for the sake of argument, the Kollel wants to have a good reputation, so they appoint Reb Heschel Schecht as Rosh Yeshiva of the Kollel. Fine. He comes twice a year for a week to give Shiurim. That's what you call a titular appointment, a guest lecturer, whatever title you want to use. It's not a real Rosh Yeshiva. At that time, the Sar HaDatot was Rav Yehuda Leib HaKohen Maimon. Maimon Fishman. The name mean anything to you? Or Bayakum Dachadash, Yad Rav Maimon, Mosadva, what do they call it? From the publishing house next to Mossad Rav, next to Mekhas HaRav. What's it called? Mossad Rav Kook. And there's a division with Rav Maimon's name on it. He was a very interesting individual from Bessarabia, his Gevena Galiziana, and a big Talmud Chacham, Yodei Yosefer, an encyclopedic mind, and a great Zionist. And he spoke with Ben-Gurions and Geret Yiddish, they spoke Yiddish to each other. Whatever Brekel Yiddishkeit, whatever little Pintle Yiddishkeit was in Ben-Gurion yet, we owe to Rav Maimon, who was his very close friend and had influence on him. So Rav Maimon, Sahadatot, stopped giving money to Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim was a tremendous yeshiva. It needed money. And they pleaded with him, and he said, what's the matter with Torah Eretz Yisrael? We have no Rosh Yeshiva here? You have to appoint someone from Lakewood, New Jersey? And you can see the conflict between a Mizrahi mind and the Baron Cutler's mind. All right, when Zerach V'Hafbik became Sahadatot, what could he do? He was a Litvisha. In other words, the love of learning was so great that he said, they came to him crying, yes, and he says, look, I'll give you money from now on. But he says, to give you the back money I owe you so you should pay you off the loans you made, we have to go to Rabbi Maimon and ask his permission. I don't want to offend him. They went to Rabbi Maimon, and he said, all right, good, give them the money, but I want them to know I made the protest. They should understand my message, that there are enough Talmidei Chachamim in Israel that we don't have to go to Lakewood to find the Rosh Yeshiva. So I have to tell you, it's a very insightful chapter, and he may be absolutely correct. Okay, yes, what did you want to say?
He must have plenty of students who were reading communism, Bundes.
You're confusing the years. Before World War I, 2/3 of the yeshiva boys, if not 3/4, if not 5/6, if not 7/8, if not 9/10, wound up communist, Bundes, secular, Zionist, haters of religion, etc., etc. After World War I, somehow their fervor with communism and Bundesism wore off totally. Mizrachistim there were. This is true. And even you take Rav Shemshafol Hirsch, I told you Wednesday night, or you went to yesterday. But Leil Yom Hatzmaut Tishah, not Heiyah, I came home, and I came home Friday morning from Gris. My wife says, Mazel Tov, I just got the call. We have a great-granddaughter. I says, great, she was born Yom Ha'atzmaut Heiyah. I says, what do you mean? Yom Ha'atzmaut was yesterday. I say, yes, but Heiyah is today. So if any date has any meaning, it's Heiyah, Baruch Hashem.
You know that in New York, no, in New Jersey, Kuzansky and his congregation celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut on Friday?
I got to answer for all my Talmidim, Baruch Hashem, at least, and Thursday, I don't understand him. All right. And tell me, they have a right to celebrate in New Jersey? What the heck are they doing in New Jersey? What are they celebrating? That they can give us money? Give us advice?
Yeah, we heard of why is it that you say, I'll pay my area, Yom Kippur? What did you say?
No, that's my question.
They're
very good. And you know my answer. The fact that you think you didn't sin is already arrogance. That's why you're saying Al-Khay. I'll have to find out why Steve, how does he spit in the face? Yeah, all right, that could be these chief rabbis, Hutter and Bud. Okay, Fashtay Shane. Let it stand. Don't let me translate. Okay, but this is, it's an insightful point. Your point, historically, by the time Rabban becomes Rabban, after World War I, it's only the Zionist problem that exists, only the Mizrahi problem that exists.
First of all,
I saw it happen with communism. Why are you asking such questions? The 1920s, millions were being killed, millions were starving. Communism is the biggest failure in the history of mankind. Do you know what's going on in North Korea? People eat grass. Today,
the socialists were pretty strong.
So show me socialism. New America has socialism. A socialist was in Israel. Israel was where you became a socialist or fought for socialism.
The answer to your question is very simple. The only place socialism and communism had an attraction for Jews was the United States. But in the United States, they lived in the theory. The Jews in Poland, Russia, were suffering from Lenin and Stalin, who were anti-Semites. They themselves killed off Jewish.
Right, they were starving. You read the history of Russia with the Ukraine, with the farms, with the privatization, with the communization now. It turned out to be the biggest farce ever. The only ones who still believed in communism were the kibbutzim here. You read the memoir literature in the 1950s when Stalin was killing Jews. They still had his picture up in the dining rooms in the Shomer Tzir kibbutzim. But Rabban didn't face those problems. He had faced the problem of Mizrahi, of Zionism, and Enoch and Ami went to America. And you see, you can continue along this concept. You can see time after time, whenever Agudat Yisrael had to make a decision, the decision turned out to be not only incorrect, but tragic. What's going on right now? Not serving in the army, absolutely, totally against halacha. It is a mulchemet mitzvah. And all of you know the sugya in Saita, daf mem dalet, daf mem hey, look up the Rambam, hilchot malachim, afilu chatan v'kala, have to do something at a time of mulchemet mitzvah. And we don't have a greater mulchemet mitzvah than what we have now, because this is simply pure survival. There's Muhammad Mitzvah, Shivat Amimim, you can have all types of Muhammad Mitzvah. But the one for survival is the most elementary, most basic mitzvah there is. Habola Hakecha Hashkein V'Hargo. And we all know what the world would do to us if we didn't have an atom bomb and we didn't have an army. Agudat Yisrael created Shas, brought back all the ethnic tensions to this country. Today, the enmity, Mizrahi, a Mizrahiite, it doesn't mean already the party, it means a black Jew, it means a Jew of Sephardic origins. They had to create their own party, they had to fight, it brought back all these tensions. But worse than that, the Haredi parties, everyone is called a Rav, everyone has smicha. Look into the Haredi press. Harav Benizri, Harav Deri, Harav Litzman, I think it should be pronounced Leitzman. I don't want to interpret it. And you go right on and on, Harav, Harav, Yishai, Yishai, Harav, Ribbono Shel Olam, and Amar Etz Gomer. The whole state, I couldn't believe there was so little learning today. What happened? We gave back, made a whole trade for three bodies up north. You know, one of the soldiers, well, I think two were married, the Bedouin, and of course, the Jewish, one of the two Jewish boys was married. And here is Yishai, big shot in the government. We have to make this trade. We have to give them all the prisoners they released. Terrible murderers at that time. This is a few years ago, before Shalit. What was the name? Goldwasser. He was married. Am I right? I have the right name? She was a very fine woman. South African roots or origins. Went all over the world speaking. And this Yishai says, Bifnei Amva Eda, in order to permit the Aguna to remarry, we need the body. I couldn't believe my ears. This is an Aguna? If you have a body, what are you talking about? You are Maritz. You bore. You never looked at Shas and Pesachim. And it took 48 hours until he corrected himself. I couldn't believe no one corrects him. Rav Ovadia doesn't hit him over the head. Rav Yashi doesn't, his followers don't put the guy in Cheirim for being in Amoretz to the 50th power. Boy, is he dead? There's plenty of evidence. We announced that they're dead. I know some of the evidence. It was irrefutable. Even a second-rate, second-stringer rabbi could have been mater the Agunas with that Shaila. What does Heter Aguna mean? You don't have a body, and you're matir on the basis of the Halacha, which deals with circumstantial evidence. Siman Yud Zayin, Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezra. And he's called Ralph? And I'll quote a Gemara to you. A very frightening Gemara. Start calling everybody Rabbi. Every Chaver Knesset, every Halfwit, every Amaretz, every Boer, even if he is a member of Shas and a member of the Memshalah, Shabbat Lamed Bet Omer Aleph, Tanya Reb Yishmuel Ben Elazar Omer, Biavon Shnei Devarim Ameha Ratzot Metim. Ameha Aretz died for two terrible sins. Al shekorin le'aron hakodesh arna, va'al shekorin le'beit haKnesset beit am. That's the Gemara talking about. Look into Rashi. Look into the Mefarshim. You take the aron hakodesh, and you call it arna. It's a closet. You take down its sanctity. A rav. That title means learning, knowledge. Yirat Shemayim, Shemesh Talmidei Chachamim. And here you use the title. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry, every Aron HaKodesh becomes an Aron, and every Aron Tzambur becomes a Rav. A Beit Knesset? What is a Beit Knesset? Holiness, sanctity. Ah, but they call it Beit Ha'am. It's a meeting place. Get together. Exchange gossip. Lashon Hara. Rechilit. Stock market tips. I always tell the story. I was davening in Young Israel of Woodmere years ago. My word of honor. Right before Kriya Torah, I'm sitting next to the brother of my host. Family that was saved by Raoul Wallenberg. You talk about living history. A mother and father and three sons saved by Raoul Wallenberg. Literally saved. Safe house in Budapest. Had a fourth son in America. And right before landing, someone comes over to him and says, Jackie, got this proposition for you. we can buy in now, tells him the company, I heard it's going to be big. We're looking for $25,000 a piece. What do you say? Jackie says, let me think about it. I'll let you know after Kriyat HaTorah. No, what do you say, Charlie? He was Yotzei Kriyat HaTorah that day. He listened to the Kriyat HaTorah. He heard the Kriyat HaTorah. That's a big ta'am. And I want to tell you, if Rakefet had his way, I now want to propose a law for the Knesset of the State of Israel. Any Chaver Knesset who has smicha, the minute he becomes a Chaver Knesset, he is enjoined, forbidden, to ever use the title Rav again until he's finished in the Knesset. If he winds up in jail, like most of them, then he can't use it altogether. If he doesn't wind up in jail, there's a committee of seven who will decide whether he gets back his title. All those in favor, raise your hands. Don't take the title, Rav. What, the Haredi press? They're insane. Every street cleaner. Maybe he's a Rav. Could be. It's a mitzvah. The end of the Gemara in Tuvah. To clean the streets of Yerushalayim. Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel, the original Reb Nosson Zvi, the Alter of Slabatka, when he came to Chevron, used to clean the streets and quote that Gemara. He's entitled to the title Rav. But a Chaver Knesset making political deals, shenanigans, compromising every principle of a kol davar katuv b'Torah, maledicting his political enemies, not having vision and foresight, following a party line when it's against kol haTorah kula, a puppet. He's a rav, a guna, need a body. I couldn't believe my ears. What a Gemara. And above all, the greatest mistakes in modern times, there, I can give a long list, but just what we've lived through 20 years ago. It's beyond words. I still have nightmares. Shas made Shulamit Aloni Sarat HaChinuch B'Yisrael, the most important position in the government. More important, in my opinion, than the Prime Minister, than the Defense Minister, than the Finance Minister, the Minister of Education. 2 million youngsters, their heads are in her hands. And I don't want to quote to you what Rav Avanja said when he was interviewed, how the Achitofels around him wound up the greatest goal we have in our generation. And the words that he said, you can rip Kriya. Kriya for the reality and Kriya for the lack of basic understanding of what life is about and who loves Torah and who hates Torah with a passion. The Gerish from Gush Katif, how the people who arranged it are still walking free, is beyond my comprehension. I don't know. A rabbi who makes these mistakes would be out of a job. But take a look, the divine punishment, and I don't want to go further. I mean, it's flabbergasting. It's shocking. Anyone of any power who was involved and supported, look where they are today. I don't want to say one syllable further. So let me summarize. Emunat Chachamim? Absolutely. 100%. Without Chachamim, we have no Torah. Without Chachamim, we have no learning. Without Chachamim, we have no Masorah. Without Chachamim, we don't have Shas and Paiskim. I crawl on the ground to talk and learning with Reb Moshe, with Rav Henkin, whom I quoted last night. By the way, I'm very interested in what I did in class, because I guarantee you, anyone who opens up that part of the Eidetli Yisrael will not understand, what's Rav Henkin talking about? People who want to avoid the rabbi? Tell them, listen to the tape of Rakefet. He lived it, he saw it, and he was able to explain it. Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, just in the car this morning. I love to drive. You understand why? I get emails from around the world. Students tell me they're in traffic jams, but they don't mind. They're listening to my Narishkeit. I write back to them, I pity you. When I'm in a traffic jam, I'm listening to the Rav. Oh.
That's because you don't share those things.
I share everything. There's not tapes, it's MP3s. I don't know. I'm, I don't even know how to begin, but you don't know what I've done. Let's not talk about it, because I can't talk about it. I don't want to get into trouble. 200 years, so they'll bless the fact that Rakepa...
What can I do?
It's not locked up. It's being taken care of, and it's being put away. It's being put away for future generations. We have our problems today. There's a family. There's that. What can I tell you? I gave all my tapes are upstairs, copied and everything, and they were going to go public, and money was contributed. Let me not go further. Okay. Das Teira, in the sense that I have explained it, going back to months ago, Rabbi Weinberg, Baskom and a Shemayim, it's frightening to me. Talmud Chacham, who has common sense, of course, I'll discuss any topic with him, comes to demonstrating against Russian Jewry, we both have to turn to the experts before we can formulate an opinion. The great Talmud Chacham and the humble savant or servant. But we have to turn to the expert. And actually, it's an open Gemara that nobody, but nobody, can deny. David Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Bet Omer Aleph Tana Rabbanan Shiva Devarim Tzivar Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yoshua Beno. Seven insights. I see a flyer. You see I hit the nail on the head. Seven insights. I don't want to go through all of them. I just want to mention one of them. For Al Tadur Bi'ir Sherashecha Talmidei Chachamim. Don't live in a city where the heads of the city are Talmidei Chachamim. What the heck is going on here? The Haredi cities, every mayor, forget about Chavri Knesset, every mayor is a Rav. And if the Haredi newspaper likes him in particular, Harav Hagon, Rosh Ha'ir, you see the gradation. Rav Hagon, Rosh Ha'ir. What does it mean? Rav Hagon in chicanery, thievery, political assassinations to become a politician. I shouldn't criticize, but maybe there are some. But they're not Rabbonim Gonim. So what does it mean? This should be the dream. Look into Rashi. Does Rashi have insight? The Torah Begirsa They're so busy learning, they don't master the technique of properly running a city. And what does this tell us? That when it comes to learning, Gedolei Yisrael, we roll in the dust at their feet. When it comes to matters of daily existence, of life, of interaction with culture, interaction with the financial world, interaction with development and long-range planning, medical facilities, educational facilities, recreational facilities, call in the experts and humbly seek advice. Then use your mind, a good mind, a Torah mind, a well-fashioned mind, to make your decisions. That's the way I view Emunat Chachamim and Dat Torah. And all the people we call in, a Balabas also has requirements, also has limitations, humility has to adorn him, and he has to understand who he is. And I refer you to the biggest crime that the Aaron Rakefet ever did. Daniel, do you know what it is? Do you know the laws of copyright? Do you know that, for instance, Tova Lichtenstein wanted to sue certain people or the sisters, Tova and Atara, and they found that they cannot sue because once the Rav gives a public lecture and you write it up and you say, this is what I think the Rav said, but I'm writing it up. That's it. There was a very famous case with Hemingway's widow who tried to sue a reporter who wrote up a whole interview with Hemingway after his death, and she claimed that there was a copyright and she lost. And there's a world of information. So when I went to started work on the Rav as a result of his three shirim in the Kollel in 1987, and I sought legal advice. So I was told, whenever you quote the Rav, you can quote a few paragraphs, you can't quote endless pages, okay? So I was very careful in my two volumes, the quote here, the quote there. You know, the volumes are built upon the words of the Rav, right? I trust you're familiar with it, but I don't have to tell you to get words of praise in public in this very building for Rabbi Lichtenstein. Ashreini shezachini lekach. Like a good Galatiana. Ashreini shezachini lekach. Okay. Alright. But there's one thing in the book. I was very naughty. I took the entire talk and put it together. I said, this talk cannot be lost for posterity, because I don't know of any other Adam Gadol who went and gave a talk. What is a balabayit in the Israel, the people of Israel? A layman of dedication. It was a fabulous talk that the Rav gave in honor of Mr. Joe Gruss when he dedicated the Beit Medrash and the main academic center of the yeshiva towards the end of the 1970s. I have the exact date in my book. I believe it was 78, but you can check it out. That's an unbelievable talk. That's a balabayit. And those of you that are going to help the rabbi and help create das and understanding and vision, and those of you that are going to be experts in many different fields, never forget, avot perik bet, mishnah bet, v'chol ha'oskim im ha'tzibur, yiyu oskim imachem l'shem shamayim, shezruch. Avot bet, shezchut avotam misayatam, v'tzidchatam omedet liyad. When you're a balabas and you help the tzibur, don't do it arrogantly. Don't throw your money around and the man covered. I learned an expression from Mrs. Revel, who told me in the name of Dr. Revel, my husband suffered from COD. I asked her, Mrs. Revel, what does COD mean? I know what it means. Oh, you don't even know anymore. You used to go, today you pay with your credit card over the internet. But at one time you used to order something, do you still remember? You ordered through the post office and cash on delivery. When you went to the post office, you had to pay the bill and then you got the box, whatever you ordered. She said to me, my husband suffers from COD, covered on delivery. Any balabas who gives him money, before he delivers the money, he wants a guarantee of public acknowledgement of cover. This is not good. You have to work with the tzibur, you have to work with the rabbis, you have to help them increase their knowledge, give them your expertise, and it has to be l'shem shamayim, because we are only here. Schot avotam mesayatam, v'tzidkotam omedet liyad. Our forebears, our forefathers, the struggle that kept us going until today, if we have humility and acknowledge our debt and work with heart and soul, lahadil Torah lo hadira, the layperson and the great Rabbanim will work hand in hand and they will succeed. Okay? Adkan, what I wanted to say in the name of Rakefet and Das Torah. Now I want to show you two little tidbits where we're up to, and then I want to go into Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. Who am I just to give my opinion? But Rabbi Aaron, he makes me look like a moderate, a liberal. And I'm going through a streak now. All my life I've been accused since the age of 21. You know, I've given a lot of divrei Torah that have not changed one iota since I was 21 years of age. Whether it's good or bad, I don't know. But Chazal support me. I can't go into my divrei Torah now, but it's based upon Harav Domel HaMalach, if you've heard about my Chidushim on it. So all my life I've been accused of being a hawk. Of course, next to my wife, I'm a dove. She always voted for mayor, every election for Mayor Kahana. And I was more mainstream. I would always vote Mizrahi, and she didn't want to let me in the house. How can you compromise your principles? Then, of course, with that interview with Reb Heschel Schechter, I showed you last week, he turned the Rav into a flying hawk, which leaves me a little dove. Baruch Hashem, not bad. Last Wednesday night, I was absolutely chopped down to size, turned into a little pigeon. And I'm just upset it wasn't recorded, because you would have enjoyed hearing it. It was just fabulous. We had a get together of rabbis to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut. All right, we spoke and learning, whatever. I had a problem going because I'm going to veil it, but what I did was fine. I ate in a separate room, whatever I ate. And then I joined the rabbis for the discussion, our wives. It was an evening to remember. And Rabbi Shalom Gold ripped the hell out of me. I am too liberal. I am too compromising. And boy, he is a hawk. And he's right. Everything was unbelievable. Turned into a little dove. And when I get to Rabbi Aaron, you'll see once again that Aaron Rakefet is a dove, a pigeon, a liberal. Now, you talk about Das Torah. Let me show you the ultimate disgrace of Das Torah. I apologize for those of you who may have lost money in this. I'm standing in the Diskin building. Those of you who know Yerushalayim, there's the Diskin buildings right opposite the Knesset. How they allow such high structures to be built there, God have mercy. Anyone can go to a window. I don't want to spell it out. It's beyond my comprehension. The Knesset is... Okay, Chachmei Chelm here, they allowed the Holy Land, they allowed this, fine. In the Diskin building on the second floor, you all know, is the shopping center. It's a very successful plan and built, and it's all Anglos there, and you can rent easily, and it's right in Shaarei Chesed, Rehavia. It's a beautiful location. So I see there's a store that exchanges money. Again, without going into the long history, which you may remember, one time it was illegal, you had to go to a bank with money, it was very involved, and today, thank God, the Likud made the dollar, all the currencies are legal here, the shekel is international today, and we owe the Likud a big thank you. They stabilized the economy, it's no longer a communist, what you asked about, it's no longer a communist, socialist economy here, that was the big attraction, social Zionism. But Baruch Hashem, it's a capitalist economy. So, you can open up, you have to get a license, you have to be honest, I hope. And I see these Americans, I don't want to mention the name, although the name is all over the internet and in all the newspapers. He's a YU Musmach. I never exchanged money there because I live off shekel, I don't have American income. But I, at the shul occasionally would give me dollar checks they got. So the Gabbai thinks I speak English. So whenever I was in the building, I would exchange money for the shul. Suddenly I'm there on a Friday morning. I see people standing and the store is not open. I come a few days later, the store is not open. And then I hear on the radio, and I'm holding in front of me the Jerusalem Post, July 1st, 2011. Anglo immigrants fear they've lost thousands to failing currency exchange business. And I couldn't believe what I'm reading. And I start reading. How can you lose money? Either they have money to give you or they have money to give you. It's an exchange. What are we talking about? And then it turns out they were running an illegal bank on the side. And it had branches. And a fortune of money was lost. I don't know what's happened subsequently, but I know when you read or any money is lost, money is lost, you can whistle. You're never going to see it again. The money disappears. There have been scandals like this, unfortunately, in the Frum community here regularly. So they go and they investigate and they interview this YU Musmach, and they quote him and they ask him, "What are you doing?" And he says, Mr. X said, Rabbi X said, he was, quote, working with the local Das Torah to assure that the matter is handled correctly. Local Das Torah? How low we have sunk with the term Das Torah. If you can tell me what Das Torah has to do with swindles and illegal dealings and robbing other people's money, God have mercy on us. Then I'll understand and I'll go to City Center. What's it called? City Field. Excuse me, I apologize to the Mets. And tell me, renting City Field for this big Dastera rally, did they get a discount from the Wilpons? Or they got to pay full price and make up for what the Wilpons lost to Madoff?
They raised $1.5 million from private donors.
To pay?
Yeah.
Wow. Of what we could do with that money in our institutions in Israel under proper scrutiny, not the exchange places that look for Das Tyra. And I want to make... Does anyone know what happened? Were they arrested? Did they go to jail? Were charges placed? What?
Right,
it's in litigation.
Civil litigation.
No
criminal charges that I know about.
No criminal charges. Okay. In order to show criminal charges, I don't know what the bank was. I'm only reading in the paper, but you got to know exactly what happened. But there's civil... Okay, so what's happened? God have mercy. God have mercy. And from guys, am I right or wrong? The people,
absolute
people you dealt with? Okay, I didn't want to mention the name because Neber, I don't know what role he played, but he ran the branch here in Jerusalem. So I don't want to mention it because I'm not an expert. I didn't go into it. I don't know all the legal matters, but I know I got most, God have mercy, what I have seen here. Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. That course is heartache. Money is money. You lose money, you feel terrible. We worked hard enough to gain it and to lose it. I've told my grandchildren, I've seen life, I tell them, only deal with a reputable bank. You think you're making less than elsewhere? You're ultimately making more, because in Israel, no bank has been poshet regel. The government will stand behind the banks. There's no law here. But I can tell you stories with a bank that was legal and had an illegal... Those who were in the illegal department lost every penny. Those in the legal department got every penny banked from the Israeli government. I know stories, and thank God we had big banks here. This can't be me. I don't leave out any name. I'm not playing any games. But these banks are watched by the government. And Baruch Hashem, you are secure. You make less, and particularly if someone offers you if the banks are giving you 4% and someone offers you 6.5%, there's a swindle going on. It's not possible. You watch, check, you'll see that I'm not off base in what I just said. And then I want to show you something else. Volume came out last summer. Artscroll volume. Rob Gifter. The Vision, Fire and Impact of an American-born Gadol by Rabbi Yechiel Sparrow. I know the family. I know the Gifter family. I know the Sparrow family. It's a very nice volume. It's not the usual art scroll volume. It's well-written. It's honest. It acknowledges that Rabbi Mordechai Gifter is a graduate of the same high school I went to, Talmudical Academy. It acknowledges Yeshivas Reb Zilchanan's part in his development, and he became Reb Mordechai Gifter. He certainly didn't remain a YU person, but he certainly was a lot broader than the many other Rosh Yeshiva. And I read this volume, and I cry. What could have been? I just want you to think about it, because you all know that in life, if is the biggest word in the dictionary. So I'm not a fool. But Rav Gifter, I'll never forget, I'm living here 43 years, and I was, I think, right after the Yom Kippur War, the dates can be checked, we got all excited, tells Yeshiva, in combination with one of the wealthiest Torah Jews in the United States, Mr. Stone of American Greeting Cards, which was a massive industry. Today, of course, you send greeting cards through the internet, the email, whatever. You download. It's a different world today. Fine. That's why they're having the rally at City Field. And Rakefet, as you know from yesterday's shiur, I have signed on. I'm against all progress, and I'm not allowing any cars to City Field. Everyone has to come with their horse and buggy. And we'll have a lot less deaths on the highway. Right or wrong? What do you say, Yosef Chaim? Absolutely. David Pardo, don't be so big with all your knowledge of the computer and what you can do. go to Citi Field and find out where you belong. Anyway, Rav Gifter, I read about Rav Gifter, and he's coming in Aliyah and tells Stone. That's how it gets the name. Everyone's asking, what stone? And they're going to organize a yeshiva. And the description of how he loved Eretz Yisrael makes me look like a dove, an eisfaf, a non-Mizrachiite. The man, according to the book, did you read the volume? Loved Eretz Yisrael. And then Nebuch tells us a family business, and his relatives die, and they need a Rosh Yeshiva in New York, in Cleveland, I should say, and Das Teira, his Chaverim, and the Refi Gedoli HaTorah, oil him back. And look what happened. First of all, he never lived in a house again. He went back for a year, 2 years, most. He lived in the dormitory. I give his wife credit. My wife would live in a dormitory. She doesn't even want to go to hotels. I give his wife credit. I mean, you live in one room, two rooms. How big an apartment in a dormitory? But look what happened. Tales amounted to nothing, went off the map in America. Who heard of Tales today? Who learned in Tales today? I visited Tales. I don't want to tell you what I saw there. It was beyond words. It's a kingdom. Empty. A Beis Medrash 20 times the size of a Vav Beis Medrash here. Big wall put up, maybe 25 young people learning in front. If that many. You heard of Lakewood, you heard of Mir, Mir Yisrael, Chaim Berlin, Teira Vidas, Shivis Ripskochanan. Who heard of Tales? And look what happened to the branch here. Nothing with nothing. With drug scandals yet. What remained, what they rented out, the yeshiva. All right, it specializes. We have a lot of nice kids on drugs. This is a reality of modern life. Maybe there'll be a rally one day at Citi Field to deal with drugs and liquor in the yeshiva world. These are real problems. All right, drugs, liquor, and sex. That's the problem. We're living in a big world. We're influenced. And I often think, had Rav Gifter remained here, it would have been fabulous. Here, he was in his prime. He was alive. He was a magnet. There was who to attract. The best minds in the polar world are looking, as we said before, at Eretz Yisrael. He was alive. He was joyful. He was Rav Gifter. All right, America either, yes or no, a family institution. I lectured on this in great detail when we spoke about the Mishna Torah world. What is it, 7, 8 years ago already? I'm proud of those lectures. They're insightful. It's a problem. Either you find people or you have to let in people. Just because you married the right girl doesn't make you a great Rosh Yeshiva. Could be Tales in America without Rav Gifter would have been forced to open the doors of its faculty to people who were great Rebbeim, Lamdanim, teachers, eloquence. But look what happened. Kerem Mikan, the Kerem Mikan. Tales Stone, outside of a sign on the map, on the road, on the highway, garnished and garnished as far as Torah, as far as what could have been, as far as imagined Tales. From Litta, travels to New York, and comes in Aliyah to Hare Yerushalayim. And look what happened there. What a tragedy. Perhaps Das Torah in this time around was totally, completely wrong on an issue that really had little to do with Zionism, but more so to do with continuing the heritage of a great Lithuanian yeshiva. We have arrived. Gentlemen, I need not tell you who Rabban Lichtenstein is. We already knew he was a Gadol Sheb Gedolim when we first met him in 1951. He finished high school. You know his life story, right? He was born in France, running away from Hitler. Baruch atah melech haolam she'achol mi'rab. Oh, and I spoke about Tells. No one is born on a tree. His mother's father was the administrator of Tells, in Litter. His mother, Zichrono Levracha, was a genius who used to write Chidushei Torah under a boy's name, publishing it in the Tells Torah Journal. Ask Reb Aaron, he'll tell you the details. I knew his mother. His father had a doctorate, Yechiel. Very brilliant people, but Reb Aaron, of course, was something very special. Winds up running away from France to America, winds up in Baltimore, as you know from his famous article where he challenges Rabbi Aaron Feldman, Torah of Nei Yisrael, the Rosh Yeshiva today. They were good friends, they went sledding together in Baltimore. It's in that famous article. Then he winds up in Chicago, and Reb Aaron is probably the only one alive who can give you the starting lineup of the 1945 Chicago Cubs, the last time they appeared in the World Series. Phil Cavaretta may still be alive. The first baseman's the only one. I read about him in the New York Times a year or two ago. He's already in his mid-90s. The only one left from the two teams that met in the World Series that year. From Chicago, Reb Aaron comes to New York. His parents teach in Brooklyn Talmudical Academy and Central Yeshiva High School. They live in Brooklyn. And Reb Aaron goes to Chaim Berlin. He graduates high school at the age of 14. Next 2 years, he sits in the Chaim Berlin Beit Medrash. And he goes through all of Shas. I do not believe Reb Aaron has gone through Shas al HaSeder since then, but already at the age of 16, he knew all of Shas by heart. He could find you any Gemara anywhere. Then at 16, he comes to Yeshiva College. I think he spends 3 years in the college, 1 year with Reb Moshe Shatzkis, who was the tail end of the Lamsha Rav's life, and then, of course, with the Rav, goes to Boston, gets a doctorate, English literature, learns with the Rav Friday night. The Rav would say shir in his house for his children and Reb Aaron. And then he comes back to New York as the Rav's assistant because of idiots like Rakefin and his friends read about it in Washington, how they forced the yeshiva's hand to make the Rav give a shir for college kids. We were not nice, but we were hungry for Torah. And the Rav started giving two shirim, one for us, and one in halacha for the smicha boys. And Reb Aaron, as you know, Abriyut, the Rav, if the Rav sat here, and I sat here, the door was there, actually the door was right over there, it was a different configuration. But anyway, Reb Aaron sat right there against the window, and whenever the Rav was frustrated looking, because the Rav remembered Gemara's by heart, but Moshe, he couldn't remember the exact daf. And he said, no, Aaron, who is the Gemara? Where's the Gemara? Reb Aaron would shoot back. Reb Kama says, Sadi Bet Omer Aleph. In 4 years of watching this interplay, Reb Aaron was only wrong once. It was a Gemara in Arvei Pesachim. I remember the sugya. And Reb Aaron said, Kuf Aleph Amid Bet. And the quote the Rav was quoting was Kuf Bet Omer Aleph. It was the continuation. He was off by about two lines that continued on the other Amid. So that's Reb Aaron. He was very close to Rav Hutna. He was very close to Reb Aaron Soloveitchik. Those two people in Chaim Berlin, extremely close. Listen to what I'm telling you, Rav Hutna, becomes very important. I don't know if we'll reach it today, but we'll certainly reach it next week. It becomes very important. He was very close to the Lamsha Rav. And of course, he later becomes Mori Rebbe's son-in-law. And I don't like to say that because cynics say, oh yeah, he achieved what he did because he's the Chatan Devein Nasi, is the Talmudic expression. And it's absolutely not true that Reb Aaron would have been Reb Aaron without being the Rav's son-in-law. But if anyone was more matim, it's nishkeven einim, me pasik, the rabbi, there was no one, achad lo matim, more fitting in my time to be the Rav son-in-law than Reb Aaron. And we loved him. He was Reb Aaron was Reb Aaron, and we knew he was unique. He was different. Okay, so you all know Reb Aaron generally has the reputation of being a liberal and being very middle of the road. And when it comes to Eretz Yisrael and all the problems we've had over the years, I look like a hawk. He looks like a dove. Of course, Reb Heschel already changed Hechlifsi Dur Maisa Bereshit. And after that interview with the Rav, becoming a super hawk, so we're all dubs today. But be it as it may, in this article, and I'll tell you what the source is on Das Torah, Reb Aaron is very strong, very sharp. Wow. Now, what's the source of this? I have two extra copies which I will pass around afterwards. Dvarim al Peshin and Ruby Mehayun be Yeshiva Taretzion Chanukah. It's this past Chanukah. Chanukah Tash Ab. Katav Yarach Avi Ad HaKohen. And in other words, it tells you here who helped, who recorded it, who wrote it out. It was a talk he gave this past Chanukah on that Torah right in Har Etzion. I don't know, those of you who have gone to Har Etzion, what does it mean, Hanukkah? It's for the whole yeshiva, or they're outside the sitting in, are the graduates, or it's basically the yeshiva that's there today. And Reb Aaron goes through the whole concept of Emunat Chachamim, and it's literally word by word, all the shiurim I said many months ago already, that the whole concept of Lo Tasur, we absolutely have to listen to the Chachamim. He quotes the Rambam, he quotes the sources. Right, he's not as thorough as I was, because this is only a Sikha. Unlike what I did week after week after week, I gave you all the sources, and there's no question. And he Beitin Hagadol, the Rambam in Hilchot Maamarim Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, Beitin Hagadol Shmi Yerushalayim Heim Ika Torah Shabbat Peh Veheim Amudei Ha'Orah Umehem Chok Umishpat Yotzei LeKol Yisrael. And there's no question, the authority, the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Masorah, everything we've spoken about, what is involved in Torah Shabbat Peh. And this we all have to believe in nefesh. If not for that, we don't have Torah Shabbat Peh, we don't have Kabbalah, we don't have tradition. Hashem b'chabon mikol amim v'natan lanu et Torah Tov is a bracha and Torah shebichtav. But the next bracha, Hashem natan lanu Torah emet v'chayei olam nata b'tokeinu is a bracha and Torah Shabbat Peh v'chayei olam, the continuity, the ongoing. But he says this, late mandapalak, no one argues. The chiddush of Das Torah, this new configuration that comes about in the 20th century, perhaps particularly post-World War II, the chiddush is when you expand this concept and call it Das Torah Gam B'nei Chulon Mufchakim, Mahavek fitzat madrega mashmutit b'chol hanogei l'hachavat chumim shel mitzvat lo tasua. And of course, that's exactly what we said, that to come along and say that the Chachamim are infallible in everything they say on every topic under the world and everywhere they lead us, that obligates us. This already is a big jump from the basic concept of Emunat Chachamim. And then Reb Aaron becomes very strident. And he quotes a Vayikra Rabbah. I'll give you the source in the standard published edition of the Vayikra Rabbah. Again, whenever we come to a medrash, we have a problem citing it because there's so many different editions of every medrash. I'll never forget 1971 when I started teaching in Michlala. It was a postgraduate class. And I come out of my room, I've just given a shayur, and there's a lady standing, that lady, you know, a young lady, and must have been 21, 22, studying in the Mikhala. She's in tears. And she says to me, Kvod HaRav, and that's what they say in Hebrew, Kvod HaRav. I used to come and tell my wife, boy, I get a lot of covered in Mikhala. I wish I got it at home, Kvod HaRav. So my wife said, yeah, Kvod HaRav, throw out the garbage. So this lady says, Kvod HaRav, Shalom, Shalom, Shayla. I said, Bakasha. And she asked me, she says, Rabbi Koopman quoted a source in the Tanchuma, and she can't find it. And it's the exact, she knows what he said, and he was holding it in front of him, and she knows it can't be that. She wrote down the wrong source, and she can't find it. And I remember saying to her, look into a Buba Tanchuma. And she came back and thanked me as if I saved her life. You understand the difference? There's the regular Tanchuma. There's the Buba, Reb Shlomo Buba, the father of the famous Martin Buba. His father was a great Talmud Chacham, a Chassidish Yid, who also dealt with the text and Chachmat Yisrael. And there are two different editions of the Tanchuma. And the famous one, the edited one, is of course the Buba Tanchuma. The same thing with the Vayikra, with the Chumash Rabbah, with the whatever, the Bereshit Rabbah, the Shmot, etc. Vayikra Rabbah, you have so many different editions, but I'm quoting from the standard edition which I have in my house. And the Vayikra Rabbah says something very strong. Kol Talmid Chacham She'ein Bodat Neveila Tova Mimenu. And what does this mean? You can be a Talmud Chacham, but if you don't have common sense, you don't have basic knowledge, you don't have worldly instincts, an avela, a dead carcass, is worth more than you. And this is absolutely shocking. Well, what do these words mean? And of course, Rav Aaron now goes into a very sharp discourse on people can be the biggest Talmid Chachamim, but if you lack sensitivity, you lack knowledge, you lack common sense, an Avela is better than you. And what this means, of course, is who's giving advice to the rabbis? Who's opening their mouths? Who are these rabbis? What do they know? Do they know beyond learning? Do they know about the world? Do they have common sense? Do they have insights to the contemporary scene? And I'll end off the class. There's a lot more to say here. He's going to go into examples that are right in our world at this moment. But I want to end off. This is what I refer to with Rav Hutna. He tells a story here that is Marafsan Igra. I don't know what that means in English. Breaks your mind, crashes the house down. And he says, this was in private conversation with Rav Hutna. Remember, they were very close. This is a Talmud Rebbe relationship. And again, from the time that Rav Hutna was Rav Aaron's Rebbe, Rav Hutna went through an entire metamorphosis. You all are aware of that. I've spoken about it many times. I don't know of any other gadol who arrived in America who changed in the course of years as much as Rav Hutna. And you'll see next year, I think it is, I don't know where, in what context, I just worked on it, I'll show you Rav Hutna again coming up with Rav Shaul Lieberman, and you'll understand what I'm saying. I don't recall exactly. I think I'm going to do it yet this year. I want to deal with an attitude towards women. Okay, second, we'll get there. Gentlemen, Rav Hutna was sitting shiva for his wife. Rav Hutna's whole life was his wife. His whole life he owes to his wife. He came to America, a poor immigrant. He married a girl, I believe her roots are from Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. Father was in real estate, and she enabled him to become Rav Yitzchak Hutna. He began in a clean-shaven Rebbe in RJJ. No, I can only tell you, it's a long road to climb from a clean-shaven Rebbe in RJJ to be the Gadol Hadar in Chaim Berlin. Okay. And he goes, the Baron says, I traveled to Bnei Brak, we were sitting shiva. No one else was there when I came in. He closed the door, and he spoke to me eye to eye, Sicha Gluya Vekena Melev El Lev. And Rav Hutner told him, Rabban doesn't mention the name, some big Rosh Yeshiva, some big Talmud Chacham, had just left, had just been to see him. And he went and told him, be happy, Rabbi Yitzchak. Your wife is up in heaven. I'm quoting word by word. She's in the wonderful world of truth. Olam shekula tov. Nothing to mourn. Be happy. Gentlemen, are those words of common sense or the words of an idiot? And Rav Hutner got hysterical and quoted this medrash, Kol tamid chacham she'en bo dat, nevela tova mimenu. An idiot. This is comfort? And Rabban says, many times people talk like this. Don't know what to say. But this is idiocy. Man is married 50, 60, 70 years. Just an article in the New York Times yesterday on the secretary of Ramaz, Jacobs. She's 102 years old. Lost her husband a few years ago. They were married 72 years. Beautiful marriage. Malka was telling when I printed out the article, I showed it to Malka. Rabbi Lichtstein is interviewed there. Boy, he's 80 already. No wonder I'm turning 75. Morty, think I'm a kid. I don't know. The Yankees won last night. That much I can tell you. I'm happy. Sabathia threw in a good game. For once, they had pitching. A miracle. Yaakov. It's unbelievable. This is comfort. This is what you tell someone. Be happy your wife left you. Be happy your Eshet Nirim, the wife of your youth, who built you, who finished the job that God began in you. I have a lot of divrei Torah in a man and woman. This is the comfort? Be happy? She's in the world of truth? And Rav Hutner got hysterical. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it in public, David. Couldn't do it in public. You're only right or wrong. Public, Rav Hutner, Gedolei Yisrael, Big Rosh Yeshiva. Chabad, Rav Aaron didn't mention the name. Rav Hutner was livid. And these are the very people who are going to give you Das Torah on topics that they know very little about. Extifator? Infallible? Wow. Nevela tova mimenu. Very sharp. Rakefet, you look like a nice, conservative, liberal, harmless fly or dove. And Rabban goes on. He doesn't, it's not just the story he tells. He goes much further, as we will see, Be'ezrat HaMatem Yov Korach, next week. Gentlemen, first of all, let me remind you, next Sunday's Shir is one of a kind. If you have a heart that loves Torah, you will be dancing on the ceiling with the Netziv, and with what I will show you afterwards. And David Pardo, who got married last June, am I right or wrong? It's June. Two Junes ago, right? You have a baby already. Let's put it into context. You made one bad mistake. You didn't get married Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. That was the mistake. You would have saved some money and you would have helped Jews eat a Sudat Shabbat Kedat V'Kedin. But what can you do? Your in-laws wished otherwise, and it's Los Angeles where there's a different Torah. That's next Sunday. This class, oh boy, we finish out Rabban and then I begin the antidote to all the sharp, terrible words that I expressed. An attitude towards Haredim. And I have divrei Torah to say that even when Reb Shalom Gold cut me down to size into little pieces, everyone admitted, wow, what divrei Torah, what insight, irrefutable, a Rambam, a Talmud of the Rav, Baruch Hashem. What did we do today? Well, we did a lot. That concept from Rav Zerich Vahavtik is not to be pushed away. It's worth a lot of thought. And you know when all the conflict will end? When Eretz Yisrael and Torah will blend into one for all Torah Jews. The process is beginning. It may take another 64 years. Could be. Kima kima. Remember I quoted that midrash to you, Shir Shirim Rabbah? But we're going to get there, B'ezrat Hashem. The process is beginning. For many of us, it has happened already. I see my grandchildren. There's no conflict whatsoever. Ein Torah, Ketorat Eretz Yisrael. Avir B'yara, Machima. Very interesting. Zerich Vahavtik Hatgahat, a Litvish Koyach, a Litvish mind. Very insightful. Remember my words, when it comes to Das Torah, you can go one by one by one. Every last decision was a tragedy. A tragedy. Shulamud Aloni, Sarat HaChinuch. I still have nightmares. Nehemiah, I love Torah, what can I do? I love Torah, it's all I have in life, it's all I value. I suffer. Grish Kastif, I can tell you stories, I don't want to say it in public. God, have mercy. How blinded people can be.
But you didn't know, how did Agudat Yisrael get involved? They were the ones that voted for
him. I'm talking about Agudat Yisrael with Gush Katif. Who am I talking about? Who voted?
Likud.
Likud goes with Das Torah, Agudat Yisrael goes with Das Torah. Agudat Yisrael, I don't believe Likud. I believe Likud split in their vote. I don't think you're right. Check it out. But Agudat Yisrael gave them the majority. Without our Guru's Yisrael, and don't ask. I don't want to go into Rabbi Yoshev. I don't understand the man. He backed down because of the Gerer Rebbe. He was totally opposed. But he saw once the Gerer Rebbe, I cannot, don't want to repeat in public what's attributed to the Gerer Rebbe. Ask Rabbi Flam, who was then Rabbi of the White Shoe. And then, of course, we spoke about the bankruptcy. I couldn't believe my words in the paper, the ultimate insult to Torah, Das Torah, how we're going to pay back the money that has been lost, or who knows how it was lost. Money is not lost, it doesn't walk away on its own. My words on Rav Gifter are worth thinking about, particularly if you read the book about him, you can appreciate what I said. And finally, we began with Baron Lichtenstein, and we came to a crescendo. Kol tamet chakum she'im bodat mevela tova mimeno. And just give me a few seconds. Gentlemen, I can't believe my eyes. Who does this belong to? I found it on my desk this morning. Facial tissues with a stumpful on it. Me'ushal le'pesach. Tashab mu'usham mitam habetim shel eda ha'charedit. If this is Das Torah, this is amratzit to the 1,000,000th power. Look where we are. I don't get it. This is a joke. It's a Purim joke, but it's Pesach. Two, look how right Tova Lichtenstein is in that article. YU has a new program. Come back from Israel and full-time learning, no college, in Yeshiva University. All-day learning program. Gentlemen, I may be stupid, but why pay YU $18,000, I'm told, it's a tuition, to sit there in a base medish and learn? If I can stay in Gris or I can learn in the Gris-based medish for nothing, no one's going to charge you. You come in, I don't know where you sleep, you work it out, be a lot less than 18 grand a year. I can go to Mir and YU and college. What do you need a YU for? If there's no college under one roof, what do we need a YU for? Also, I want to show you something fascinating that you will not even start to understand what the seminary was like. A great man died last week, Professor Avraham Goldberg. You saw the Avelut signs, Rabbi Dr. Professor Avraham Goldberg at the age of 99. I know him from the day I came in Aliyah, we've davened together. He is the man whose doctorate at the Hebrew U was on Mesechet Ohalot. You can't learn Mesechet Ohalot without using his edited critical edition. His research is second to none. It's one of the most valuable Sfarim I own. Then you read his introduction. He grew up in Pittsburgh. I believe his father was a Shoichet. He thanks his teachers in Pittsburgh, introduced him to Gemara. Then his father sent him to Torah Vadas, and he learned by Rav David HaKohen Leibovich before the split in Torah Vadas. And then he went to the seminary, and he learned by Professor Levi Ginsberg, and Yibodo L'chaim Aruchim Tovim, Professor Shaul Lieberman. He was a chaplain in World War II, and then he comes to Yerushalayim and Aliyah with the founding of the state, studies at the Hebrew University, Professor Yaakov Nachum HaLevi Epstein, Harat Shulayim, footnotes, the movie, it's based upon Professor Epstein and his machlokes with Professor Lieberman. And the Yibol de Lechayim, he studies with Professor Hanoch Albeck. And it's just amazing how he can feel all this as one continuity with no contradiction. Think what JTS has become today. One more, then one final little tidbit. A volume came out by a student in Manchester who listens to the Shayurim, A Treasure of Letters by Rabbi Elazar Reich. If you can get the volume, it's very sweet. He studied here in the early 50s. It's a yeshiva boy coming from Manchester. By the way, my great-granddaughter has big yichus on her mother's side. She is a great-granddaughter of the Rav of Manchester, Harav Unstoffer, and her great-uncle of this little baby is the Rav today of Montreal, one of the big Rabbanim Paiskim in Montreal. And he was in Manchester at that time, Rav Unstoffer. He studies there. His description of Yerushalayim, of Hebron, of the Rebbeim here, of the Gerer Rebbe, of Bnei Brak, of the Chazon Ish, it's a very fascinating little volume put out beautifully. I couldn't get over it. Letters that he wrote home to his parents, and you capture Azaka Shmakai. It's beautiful. Finally, I got this from my Talmud, Dr. Marty and Eleanor Lipson in Toronto. I don't even know where they got it from, but it's a picture of part of the faculty of Reitz when I taught there. And here you see Rav Lessen, Rav Zaks, whom we spoke about yesterday in class. Remember that question? Who asked me that question? It was a fabulous question with Rav Mendel Zaks. Was that Joseph Chaim? That's what I thought. But Joseph Chaim, once he has the fabulous question, he gets very tired from the, you understand. And here's a picture of Aaron Rabbi Rothkopf as a youngster with the other members of this erudite faculty. And here, if you didn't believe me what I told you in class, here is Rabbi Isby. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya. Wait, we have some freebies. 1 second. Yitzchak, you're going to be very, very rich. First of all, does anyone want a copy of Rabbi Aaron's interview here on Das Torah?